This season of the Let's Talk Business podcast is brought to you by Payroll Finance, the only loan designed specifically for payroll. Here is a short message from Payroll's CEO.
Hi, my name is Morris Reichman. I am the founder of Payroll Finance. Payroll Finance offers a payroll-specific loan designed for businesses to cover payroll when cash flow is tight. Because so many business owners so often spend too much time managing cash flow and worrying how to cover payroll instead of growing their businesses. To learn more, you can reach out to me directly via email morris@payrollfinance.com, or you can call me to 848-240-4032, and you can visit our website as well, payrollfinance.com.
Most people don't start with the end in sight when they do something. They do bottom up. They start with that particular issue, then they build tasks around it. And the problem with that approach is they become task-oriented versus purpose-oriented. And so how many times do we finish a grueling day where we just went through our whole to-do list, we got it all done, but at the end of the day, we realized we really didn't move the needle forward?
Welcome to the Let's Talk Business podcast. Gain valuable and actionable tools from the world's top business leaders to help you grow, lead, and succeed. Here's your host, Manny Hoffman.
Coming to you from the PTX headquarters in Brooklyn, New York, this is the podcast for no-nonsense advice to help you learn, grow, and lead. Today, I'm so excited to welcome our guest, Ron Carr. Ron has worked with leaders on six continents to eliminate risk, gain buy-in, and achieve better results faster with his Velocity Mindset methodology. His presentations and advisory services have generated over $1 billion in incremental revenues for his clients. Ron is the author of 5 books, including Velocity Mindset and the best-selling Lead, Sell or Get Out of the Way. Ron facilitates the Chief Revenue Officer Mastermind Group made up of CEOs and VPs of high-growth companies looking to build high-performance sales cultures. He also served as the 2013 and 14 president of the National Speakers Association. Let me ask you a question. If a potential client gives you only 5 minutes of their time, how can you use their time efficiently and successfully that you can have another more substantial meeting in the future? I know what you're thinking. Is this a gimmick or so? Let me tell you something. This is not a typical episode, because in this episode, Ron Carr put me to the task and he role-played with me how those interactions would be in opening a more formal, trustworthy conversation so the prospects will give you more time. Let's get right to it. Ron, thank you so much for joining me on the Let's Talk Business podcast.
Thank you, Manny. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your audience.
Sure. So I've known you for years. I think in my earlier years when I started looking out for thought-out leaders and experts in different spaces, in particular leadership, I've gotten to know you, I think it was from either an event or even just being on the Speakers Association's website or somewhere. And I started following your stuff. I've been following it forever. And every now and then, I take my time, my listeners know it, to freshen up the podcast and bring on different types of guests. And the first thing is I always look at my network. You know, that's I think the most valuable piece I have is my network. And I said, you know what? We never had Ron on the show. And I reached out and thank you so much for giving me the time.
Well, my pleasure. And the network is the most important thing for all of us. So let's give them some great advice so that they can go out there and do what they need to do.
Absolutely. So I want to get to a lot of what you share and what you speak about. And what caught my eye and stuff that you write about a bunch is the concept of people calling themselves a victim of circumstances, and that gets in the way of the leadership. But before we get into there, I want to get a little bit of your childhood, a little bit about what got you into this space in the first place.
Wow, that's a loaded question. So I grew up in Washington Heights, 181st Street, and 181st and 180th and Wadsworth Avenue. And then in 1970, when the crack epidemic came, we moved to New Jersey, where a lot of the Jewish people moved to in Bergen County. And then I've stayed in the Bergen County area for the rest of my life until 66 when I moved down here to Florida. But when I grew up, it was a very tough upbringing, quite frankly. I'm a son of a Holocaust survivor. He wasn't in Auschwitz or anything, but he lost his mother and he He was in the Polish army after it got disbanded. He was shot twice. He tried to get to Palestine, and he was put in a Siberian camp for 2 years. And he just destroyed after that. It's been documented that a lot of people coming from those experiences had abusive relationships with their offsprings, let's put it that way. And it was very abusive, both verbally and physically, not sexually. But he loved us. He really loved us. He just didn't know how to show it or deal with it. But then it causes problems for all of us. So if you want to talk about a victim of circumstance, if there's ever someone who could be a victim of circumstance, it's me, having a knife thrown at your head, having things said you would never say to a child and all that. But I learned at an early age, I can have the biggest pity party I want, but at the end of the day, it's not going to help me. And so I did a lot of work to become enlightened, therapy, other things, and I'll get my head straight. And I started realizing that we all create stories. Think about this, Manny. Everything that I say to you or do, you are interpreting as to what you think I meant by it.
Exactly.
That's your story, right? And most of our stories are wrong because we're only dealing what we think they meant, but we have no idea what's going on in their lives at that moment. We have no idea where they're coming from. And we make it even worse because we don't even ask questions about it. Because the moment someone says something, like they come into your organization and they say, I need quality. And you immediately go to what you think quality is because of your biases and experiences. When in fact, what you're talking about, they have no interest in. They're thinking about something that happened to them 2 years ago that now created a story as to what they will not do. And if you don't find out what their story is and why they have it, you're not in a position to influence them. So stories are both ways, Manny. Our stories we make up and the stories the people that make up that we try to influence, our families and our customers. So the first thing I want your listeners to do is a story is made up. Whoever wrote the story can change it, rewrite it if they don't like it. And that's a responsibility that each and every one of us has to do. We can choose to rewrite it, or we can choose to stay a victim of circumstance in our little world and have the pity party.
Wow.
Now, if we choose to rewrite it, then there are people out there, coaches, whatever, that can help you figure out how to rewrite it and all that. But the best way to rewrite a story is to start with the end in sight. So let me give you an example. Let's suppose you want to come down and visit me, right? Let's suppose you go to JFK, you get on a plane, and you ask and you're going down to Fort Lauderdale, and you ask the pilot where we're going today. And the pilot goes, ha, 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 ha. Wherever the winds take us is where we land.
Yeah.
Would you stay on that plane, Manny?
No.
No, of course not. You want to be with someone who knows where the heck they're going, right? So pilots start with the end of the sight first. Fort Lauderdale, that's where we're going. Then they work their way back. They start thinking about what are the 2-3 waypoints that we know if we go over this intersection in the air, we're on our way. And then they add the complicated matters of clouds, winds, rain, storms. And at the end, they come up with a flight plan that gives them the safest and fastest way to get there. Most people don't start with the end in sight when they do something. They do bottom up. They start with that particular issue, then they build tasks around it. And the problem with that approach is they become task-oriented versus purpose-oriented. And so how many times do we finish a grueling day where we just went through our whole to-do list, we got it all done, but at the end of the day, we realized we really didn't move the needle forward?
Exactly.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's because people are just worried about the task, but they're not worried about the purpose. So I wrote my last book, it's called The Velocity Mindset. And when you think about velocity, Manny, what's the first word that comes to your mind?
To the word velocity?
Yeah.
The purposeful.
Purposeful. Or speed, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people want to get it there and they want to get there fast, right? The problem is they're creating drag on their velocity because the tasks that they're doing are not germane to their purpose because they're not driven by their purpose. They're driven by the task. So let's bring this into some concrete ideas for your audience. Let's suppose one of your listeners has to make a sales call. I had to call on a new prospect. And I would ask them, so what's your goal for the call? Oh, I want to get this person as a customer. Okay, what's your sales cycle like? It takes about 5 calls to get a new client on board. Okay, what call is this? Oh, number one. So let me see if I get this straight. This is your first call with the prospect, never met them yet, and you want to go in and close them as a customer. That's your goal. Yeah. And I said, well, you're not going to get them. And they go, why? I said, because all you're going to do then is you're going to talk so much, you're going to puke on your customers, prospects. Puke stands for, by the way, people who utter knowledge about everything.
That's
a talk about everything of which 90% is not important to those people. And they're not listening to you. They're not engaged. And they're kicking you out either physically or mentally.
Sure.
All right. It just doesn't work. But we don't get that. Okay. We have to understand where we are in that sales cycle. So if it's the first call, what would make that call successful? To me, a goal in that call would be to qualify that account, to make sure it's the right account for you and you're the right vendor for them, and then to decide what the best path forward is and to map those steps out. You have that as a first call to prospect, you're going to be asking different questions. You're going to be clarifying a lot of the answers. You're going to find out where they're trying to get to, and you're going to get better results faster. So I'll give you a case study. Well-known financial services firm, we won't mention the name, but they hired me. They knew their numbers. National company. They knew it takes their advisors 5 calls before they can get an investor on board. They also knew who the ideal customer was, which is something your audience has to do. Sure. Their ideal customers, their goal was to build one person offices. So their ideal customers had to be conservative investors, people who met with their agent maybe once a quarter, gave them the updates in their lives. They tweaked the plan, and then they went away for a quarter and came back. They didn't want active traders because a one-person office couldn't handle that volume. So they knew exactly what they wanted. So they said, we want to reduce the 5 calls down. Imagine if we can take 1 or 2 calls off the sales cycle, how much more they can close. So I went in the field because for that market, they called on the retirees, they knocked on homes, and we're outside Chicago. And in the first call we went, it was a beautiful, a really nice Midwestern couple in their 70s, nice house. And the rep did a nice job introducing himself. And then he goes in for a 12-minute conversation to build the social relationship. Sees the pictures on the wall about the Bears. Oh, did you see the Bear game? Oh, yeah, too bad they lost. Oh, they played, you know what? And then they look at the pictures. Oh, these are your grandkids, your kids. How beautiful. How many do you have? And while he's doing that, I can see their eyes are like, what is this person doing in my house? 12 minutes. I looked at my watch. I was bored. And then finally, after that, he goes into a conversation about stocks and bonds. I'm going, really? You don't think that they already have some kind of advisor who's got them in some kind of stocks and bonds? So it was the wrong conversation because he wasn't purpose-driven. He was task-driven. Make the sales call, go in, get them to like you, and sell them something. Right. That doesn't work today. All right, so what do we do? We get out of the house, and I explained it to him. And I said, all I want you to do is bring the chit-chat down to 2 minutes. Can you do that? And then I want you to ask this one question. And we thought about it. I said, okay, you know, the issue is not stocks and bonds because they already have somebody. You go there, they're going to think they don't need you. You're going down a dark hole. But what they are thinking about every day is about their future. So what I want you to do is ask them this one question. When it comes to your money in the future, what are the 3 things you need to provide for? All right. So let's role play this. Fair enough, Manny?
Sure. And
a lot of people are listening to the podcast. We're going to role play this twice. Manny, have you and I role played this before the interview?
Nope.
Okay. So we're doing this as it comes, right?
Absolutely.
Just
ready for the challenge.
So I'm going to role play with you twice, and then I'm going to interview you, and then we'll see what comes up for you, okay?
Sure.
All right. So the first is that first advisor who comes in and knocks on your office door. Let's say they want to sell you some 401k programs or whatever, okay? So here we go. And you made an appointment, so I'm coming in, right? Hey, Manny, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to see me. I know that we're going to be talking about 401ks. And how many employees do you currently have right now?
We have 32.
32. Great. And when you do the 401k, why is that important to you and to them?
Well, we want to incentivize our employees. We want to offer them some different additional benefits.
Okay. And what percent would you want to contribute to?
I want to know what's the typical business.
Okay, we can stop. Now, in the velocity mindset, we looked at the neuroscience, because when I was working with this financial services company, it was before the neuroscience findings came out of how the brain gets engaged. That was in like 2005, 10, a little earlier. This was in the early 2000s, okay? So I stumbled upon this approach, but the neuroscience explained it. So there's three hormones, very simple. Cortisol is the fight or flight hormone, fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
If you take a continuum, 10's over here, 0's here, 0 is no cortisol. You don't want that at all. But let's suppose you have cortisol 1 to 3, very low cortisol, 1 to 2. You're not upset, but you're not really engaged. So whatever someone's saying is going over your head. You get into the 3 to 5, now you're engaged. You're having an active conversation and you're getting to, yeah, okay, how do we do this? You know, let's keep going.
Getting excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. Now you go to a 6, 7, you start, whoa, what? You know, I'm not sure about that. And then you get to an 8 or 9. Now you're getting fearful. No. We got to stop talking about that. And then 10, you check out mentally or physically. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, one thing I teach sales execs, before you even start selling, you got to create an environment for them to want to participate with you. So if you anticipate an environment where you're going to be an interruption, every sales call is an interruption, even if you have an appointment. You're interrupting the day, they're in the middle of something. So if you put yourself where you were just now when I walked in your office and there was an interruption, you're dealing with 5 different things, and I'm talking to you about 401ks that you kind of want to do, but you're not sure, blah, blah, blah. Where is your cortisol right now? Before I even said hello. Remember,
definitely
1 to 10?
Yeah. Huh?
Very low?
Definitely very low.
Give me a number.
Maybe if it's a scheduled meeting, it would be maybe a 2 or 3.
It's yeah, because you're not upset. You allowed me to come in.
Yeah.
Right? Now I ask that question. So how many employees do you have?
32.
Okay. Now watch your cortisol. Are you getting more upset or more like, where's this going? Okay. And then I start explaining how my 401k is the best 401k out there. Where would your cortisol go now?
So if I'm engaged in the conversation and if I'm liking what I'm hearing.
Let me take you back to that first conversation.
Sure.
So Manny, thank you for having me come in. As you know, we are one of the top 401k firms in the country, and we manage with small businesses like yours. How many employees do you have?
32.
Excellent. Let me give you the reasons why you should be looking at our 401k, why it's going to be the best thing for you. A, it's got flexibility. B, you can choose the amounts that you want. C, it's going to help your employees do what you wanted to do for them. And I'm just making this stuff up, so I'm going to stop here. But is anything that I just said about my 401k getting you excited?
Well, I'm still early in the process.
Is anything right now getting you excited?
Not very much.
Where's your cortisol?
Still at the 2 or 3.
Okay. Most people at this point will be at a 2 or 3, like you said, or okay, They'll go to a 6 or 7 because they feel they're wasting their time.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah. So if this were to go on for a while, not learning anything major new.
And all we did was 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to do it differently. And all I want you to do is tell me if you feel anything different, okay?
Sure.
Hey, Manny, how are you today?
Great. And yourself?
Good. Thank you for taking the time to see me. I know you're very busy. Running a small business today is challenging, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Especially post-pandemic, everybody's trying to keep the employees and not let them go. Let me ask you a question. You've been successful. I see you're very successful. You got 32 employees from my research. When the employees go home every day, what do you want them feeling about their experience working for you?
Oh, well, culture is very important. People that follow me, see my stuff, know how important culture is and having a good environment. And I want people to come every day happy and leave happy, which means when they get home at night, they're thinking about the next day, about coming back to work and continuing working on the projects.
So that's what you want. That's the ideal state, right?
Sure.
Perfect. When you look at your business right now, what are the three things that you realize you need to work on in order to make sure that culture is the way you would like to see it?
Sure. So some of it is just the way our culture is set up and the perks and programs that we have internally. But I'm always looking at what type of incentives I could do so those people could grow financially as well with the company.
And what would be the three areas you'd like to help them in financially?
So I'm looking at different ideas. That's why I gave you this appointment. I want to learn about the 401k program. And I'm looking at other type of incentive programs that I could introduce.
Right. So if you picked a program that really helped you get to that next level with your employees, what are the three things you would need to see from that program?
I like the collaboration. So it's not a one-sided program. So I like that there is a
part. Okay, we can stop.
Sure.
Where's your cortisol now?
So I'm totally engaged.
Okay. So give me a number.
So I'm actually it's not going up. It's there where
it needs to be. Oh, it went up. To get from not engaging, it got to be between a 3 and a 5.
Correct.
So which would you say it is?
I would say just to confirm, as we're going upwards, meaning I'm losing engagement, correct?
You're gaining engagement.
I'm gaining engagement. Yeah. So I would be at definitely a 5 and up and going up from there.
And then anything above that, you start getting a little antsy, right? But you're not there. You're engaged. And that, you know how I know you're engaged? Because you're giving me answers.
Sure.
You're starting to trust me?
Absolutely.
But we only knew each other for 2 minutes.
Correct. And I see where you're going with this. Basically,
where am I going?
You're allowing me, you're going from this, you know, static questions, yes or no answers that you want to get to a conversation. And you're also allowing me to share what's behind those things outside of just the yes or no answers.
You're right. Now let's refine it even better, okay?
Sure. I'm liking this. I hope the audience as well, but this is good.
I know. So I like it too. That's why I do it. All right. So Manny, in that example, there was a change in your brain chemistry. The first role play, you expected me to sell you something, right? And I started talking about my product, right? I didn't move the needle with you, correct?
Correct.
The second role play, I introduced myself and showed you I knew a little bit about your business. But then I asked you, what are the three things that are so important to you when it comes to retain your employees? I picked retain your employees because that's a big issue for everybody. At that moment, I want you to go back to that moment. I don't want you to tell me what your answer was. I know the answer. I want to know what changed up here. How did you feel? It's about feelings. Feelings, by the way, let me tell the audience, there's two parts to the body for influence, the heart and the mind. Most people, when they want to influence people on ideas, teachers, salespeople, whoever, they go straight to the mind and tell them all the reasons why they should do it, like I did in the first role play. But we're not ready for that because we didn't do the heart first. We didn't create the emotional connection. That's why I didn't get engagement. But when I asked you, what are the three things you want your people going home with every night feeling, or the three things you want from the program you're about to invest in, tell me about your feelings inside. What changed?
Yeah. So basically what you brought up, all the feelings I have and all the things.
I didn't bring up any feelings. This is important.
Correct. Means
I just asked you a question.
Correct. Asking that question brought up.
It triggered exactly your feelings.
Exactly. So everything that I keep on thinking about on a regular basis.
Right. But okay. But you're giving me the answer right now. I want you to tell me how you felt when I did that.
As far as our relationship, let's say.
Yeah, everything. I don't want to think how you're going to answer it.
So I felt that you're not before you want to make sure that what I'm really looking for, my pain points, is something that is as basically.
How did that make you feel?
Yeah. It made me feel that you're interested in what's really going on in my business.
And how did that make you feel?
Great. That this is a guy that maybe that we can do business together.
Did I tell you anything about what my product is?
Not yet.
And yet you believe I have a solution for you.
At least I'm the possible solution.
So the possible solution, yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And I haven't even talked about a 401k yet.
Correct.
Right?
Correct, correct.
So now that you feel better about this hour you're spending with me and we're going someplace, That's releasing now the oxytocin, the second hormone. That's the love and the trust hormone. Now, trust is earned, Manny, right? Trust we have to continuously earn each and every day. We could lose everything we did in a moment's notice with a bad interaction. But trust is earned. So let's be honest. You really don't trust me 100% yet. You don't know me. But you're trusting me enough to give me things that you're striving for that's important to you. So now when I present my 401k, I can present it in the context of where you want to be. Because everybody wants to get to where they want to be.
Exactly.
And because you're trusting me now and you're giving me some of this, are you feeling better about the conversation?
Absolutely. And regardless of where it takes us, as far as a full conversation, we're going to leave. Either you educated me properly, either I was able to be listened to and heard, and regardless if the transaction happens at the end.
Right. And at the end of the day, you're doing all the talking. I'm doing the listening. Because what's important is for me to listen not just to your answers, but to the world from which you're living in.
Got it.
Only then will I be able to present in context what's important to you.
So this is great. And I think salespeople in general don't do enough of this. You know, just recently, actually, I posted something on LinkedIn, which it was a product and service that I really loved. Like I heard good recommendation. I got on the website. I scheduled a demo. I spoke to the salesperson and everything checked off. Outside of the salesperson becoming too pushy and all they wanted to sign the dotted line. It was the first interaction with the company. And after the demo, and I loved it, they said, well, but if you sign today, it's the end of the month. That was the first red flag. And then they tried to get me into a year contract. And then they put up the sales manager to negotiate the 6-month contract. I said, you know what? Honestly, everything I loved, but I'm afraid of such a relationship. And they lost me.
Yeah, they lost you. You want to know why? Because they became their own drag on their own velocity because they were creating their own obstacles.
Exactly.
They had you. Yeah. And then they use all that BS behavior that takes away from everything they trust.
You know what? I told my partner, because we were looking on this together, I said, it's a pity because I love the product.
But you can't change people unless they want to change. That's an important part. So what we're talking about here, Manny, we're talking about empathy. When we are brought in by companies to look for key employees, executives, managers, salespeople, service people, the one common trait we want them to have a high score in is empathy. Because if you have empathy or the ability to have empathy, A, you're going to ask questions. Only then do you understand their environment. Only then do you know how to help them. But more importantly, only then are they going to listen to you because you're talking about the one, two, or three things important to them. If you don't do that, then guess what? That same company that you just met, who had a great product, who you love, all of a sudden you created a different story halfway through the meeting because of the tactics that they were using. And now you felt that you can't trust them. That's your story, that you can't take the risk and you got to run from them. And that story came in relation to their actions. If you don't like the reactions you're getting, simply change the story. Actions. And the key here is this. I've proven to people, you don't have to have two people agreeing to get past an impasse. You only need one person to change the actions, and it will change the reaction on the other side.
Mm-hmm. This has been great. I want to try to play a little bit of the devil's advocate on this, and I just want just our listeners, because I know there are people there saying, you know what, depending on who you're talking to, some people will say, you know, cut the chase and get right to what you're selling. You know, people schedule a meeting, finally you get in. Forget about all these questions. Just get to the, what are you offering? And sometimes it takes a lot of discipline from the salesperson on the other side.
Yeah. How do you know what to offer if you haven't asked questions?
Exactly. But it takes discipline.
It takes discipline. You're absolutely right. And it also takes, discipline is probably the best word, but discipline at a higher level, because all too often people will say an issue or they'll say a common word you heard over and over, but we don't know anything what they mean by that. So we create our own stories. We need to clarify what they mean. We need to find out what's at stake if they don't do it. There's a whole host of questions you need to be asking to uncover this. And for the people that say, I don't have the time, they only say I have 5 minutes, I'm going to guarantee you a couple of things. Number one, if someone says that you only have 5 minutes and you puke all over them about why they should buy from you, you'll be out of there in 5 minutes. All right. And number two, at the end of the day, how many times did someone say you only have 5 minutes and they stayed an hour with them?
Yeah.
How long they stay is a function of your conversation. Let me say it again. How long they stay with you is a function of your conversation. You do all the talking, you're gone. You ask them interesting questions, they'll think you're the best friend. Now, let me show you how fast this goes. Now, one couple quick points. A sales cycle is, we can break it down to 5 steps that are basically the same for everybody. You got your prospect, you got your first impression, you're qualifying them, and then you're presenting why they should buy from you, you negotiate, and you close, right? Basically 5 steps. Some are longer than others, depending on what kind of product you sell. Most people spent in sales, the way we were trained in the 80s and all that, to spend most of the time in the presentation and negotiation. So we spent little time in the qualifying and everything else. We went straight to doing demos and everything else. Wanted to know why it landed on deaf ears and we didn't close the deal. So naturally, if you're going to spend a little more time in the first 2 steps of first impressions and qualifying, it may add some time to the sales call, but get this, it will dramatically reduce your sales cycle. Let me say it again. It may add minutes to the sales call, but it will reduce how many calls it's going to take to get that person aboard. And I'll give you the example of that financial services. I'm in St. Louis and I'm with them one day and the senior partner says, hey, we got a class in advisors who are in the field for 4 to 7 years. Can you, and they're pretty decent, you know, like B players. Can you come in and do your thing for them at the end of the day? So I came in at 5 o'clock, did an hour with them. And that night we're all staying in the same hotel, Manny, and my phone rings at 11 o'clock and it's one of them. And he goes, hey, sorry to wake you up. I got to talk to you. You have a moment? I go, sure. He goes, I tried everything you said today and I called up 2 widows who both had $100,000. One I've been talking to for 6 months and one for 3 months and I couldn't get them to move. And I called them up and I tried what you said. And I go, and?
Yeah.
And he goes, it worked. I go, tell me more. And he goes, well, I called up the one for 6 months and I said, look, I just realized, you know, I never asked you to do the most important question I should have asked you. Do you mind if I do? She goes, well, what is it? And he goes, well, I'm talking about stocks and bonds, but that's not what you're here for. You're here for your future. So when it comes to your future, what are the 3 things you want your money to provide for you? And she goes, oh, retirement, you know, education for the grandkids and whatever the third one was. Asked a couple of other questions, told her in a couple of minutes how they can work on that. And she committed her funds to him that night on the phone.
Wow.
The second person he called up, same situation. 3 months dealing with, committed to having him come in again and meet with her again. How long were those phone calls?
Short, but the right phone calls.
Exactly. The short, but the right phone calls.
This has been an amazing exercise. I want to shift, if you may. We have a couple of extra minutes.
Sure.
Because obviously we used examples in sales, but I think as leaders, we have these conversations with our internal employees. And we understand what is important to them and how could they contribute more to the organization and so on and so forth. What are some practical ways of leaders utilizing?
It's the same thing. Start with the end in sight for whatever initiative you're working on and work your way backwards and make sure you're purpose driven and not task driven. So I'll give you a real life example. I have a retainer client for 9 years in Virginia. I work with the CEO and the key management team and we doubled their business and whatever. When I'm down there one time, one of the production supervisors came in so upset, cursing. I can't even use the words in this podcast. And he goes, that button. And I go, what are you talking about? The guy is 20 minutes late on the job because he's on his damn cell phone. I said, so what did you do? Now, remember, when he saw the cell phone, it triggered a story inside of him, right?
Yeah.
And whatever it was, he doesn't care about whatever. So he got it aggravated him. So he went up and yelled at the employee. He said, get off the damn cell phone. What did the employee do? He said, why? Everybody else is on a cell phone. He made the cell phone the issue when it wasn't. So I said, let's replay that. You be him, I'll be you. And I gave him the same conversation he gave the employee. He goes, wait a second. I said, what? He goes, I wouldn't have even listened to myself. All right. So what do we know about the guy? He wants to be a master welder. It's a 2-year program. Great. What do you need for that? Quality and timeliness. How's his quality? Perfect. That's why we love him. How's his timeliness? Well, he's late 20 minutes and it's keeping everybody else late. Here's what you do. You go back out there, wait an hour, let the energy, you know, shift a little bit. And you say, hey, you know, you want to be a master welder, right? He goes, yeah. And he did this. And he goes, all right, you know, we need two things for you to get the master welder certificate in 2 years, you know, quality and timeliness. Your quality is perfect. That's why we love you. Timeliness, you're pretty good too. But on this one job, you're 20 minutes late. What do you think we can do to get you back on target so you meet and get your master welder status? And immediately, without any further pushing, he started coming up with ideas on how we can get the job back on time.
Wow.
We never talked about the cell phone because that wasn't the issue. All right. The leader started with the purpose. What do we got to do? Get people back on time. How does he get the bottleneck to cooperate? Not by yelling at them and by telling them to get off a cell phone, which doesn't work in this day and age. He did it by what's important. Where is he trying to go? How's his journey? And he's on his way, but this is going to help him get there. How do we fix this?
This is amazing. And I think I'll just remind our audience what you started off with is sometimes the story is something between you and yourself.
Not sometimes, all the time.
All the time. But sometimes there's not another party involved.
Or, yes.
You know, you're trying just to use the circumstances of a story into framing your story for the rest of your life. All you need to do is change that story, as you mentioned. I think this is a very powerful lesson. It's like the analogy of the glass half full, so to speak.
Yeah,
you can look at it
exactly.
From both sides.
Exactly.
Been amazing. Tell us one more thing before we wrap up is you have this concept of board meetings with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more because I found this to be a very interesting piece that, you know, I've never seen before.
My first sales job was selling copiers. I wanted to get in medical device sales because I was an EMT, but I realized I just wanted it for the money, not for the science of it. And they wouldn't hire me because I had no experience. So I finally got the School of Hard Knocks position selling Konica copiers, has became Winalta. It's right after when they came out with the first plain bond copier. They replaced the liquid that got all over people's clothes. It was crisp copies, 12 copies a minute. They were seducing me with the one copier. And I said, where's the collator? Oh, I'll be here in 6 months. Where's the slicer? It's coming. Well, that stuff didn't come for 2 years.
Yeah.
So all I had was a great copier, crisp copies at 12 copies a minute, and that's it. And I'm competing with a big Xerox in the third floor that can make lunch and give out drinks and whatever else it's doing, right? So I go into an office manager's job and I said, well, can you collate? Nope. Can you slice and dice? Nope. Well, come back when you can. Well, after getting the door hit me in the back too many times, I said, you know, the old insanity rules, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So we got to change this. The only one who can change it is you. So let's go have a board meeting. Me, myself, and I. Where do you go for a board meeting in New Jersey? You go to the diner. So you're sitting in a diner. And I started asking myself, okay, what's going on? I'm not having fun. I'm not selling anything. I suck at this thing. I should never have been a salesperson. What made me think I can do it? I had a really good story going on. And because I started thinking about it, it got even deeper until I said, wait a minute. All right. So you suck. You're not getting anybody to buy anything. What are you telling them? I'm telling them how great it is, 12 copies a minute. And then what happens? They ask me about that damn Xerox machine on the third floor, and I can't compete. So that's another story I'm telling myself. I can't compete. My energy goes down. And who comes out of it? I'm the one who ends the conversation, not them, because I feel like I got no shot, right? So I realize what's going on, okay? I said, okay, so that's not working. What does a copier do? I said, well, it's a communication vehicle. Helps spread the word. Maybe that's the conversation you need to have. So you test. Something's not working, try something new. What happens if you fail? We fail most of the time. But we learn from our failures that gives us our big successes. So I went into the next call, met with an office manager. And I said, would you agree with me that a copier is nothing more than a communication vehicle? She goes, absolutely. I said, well, when it comes to that, what are your three biggest challenges? Many. It was like I was a shrink and she was on my couch. She goes, can we talk? I go, yeah, it's well, your office, go ahead. She goes, listen, Sally needs one copy. She gets up on the first floor. By the time she gets to the staircase, she's having all these chit-chats, goes up to the third floor, has to wait in line behind all those big jobs, or make one little copy. An hour later, she makes the copy. She comes back down, has all the chit-chats. By the time she gets back to the desk, it took her 2 hours. I said, wow, how much time are you spending a week on this? He goes, try the equivalent of 2 full-time employees. Well, wow, how'd you let them back? She goes, how are you going to give them back to me? I said, simple. I'm not competing with the Xerox in the third floor. I'm here to fill in the gaps that you haven't found a solution for. And your gap are the ones and twos and three copies.
Wow.
So I'm not here to sell you one copier. I'm here to put one on every floor. So the Sallys of the world can get up, go to the copier, make it, come back. They're back in the desk in 5-10 minutes flat, and they're not wasting an hour and 45 minutes multiple times. How much is that worth to you? And I started selling many 3 copiers at a time because I changed the conversation. It wasn't that I sucked. It wasn't that I didn't know. I have a brain in my head. I used my brain to realize it wasn't working. I used my brain to say, okay, what can I try? Did I have the confidence that it was going to work? No, because I didn't have the history. But I tried it. Nothing could be worse than what I was doing. And I stumbled upon it. It's like Edison on the 10,000th try, he gets the light bulb. Tenacity is what helps people move forward, but not tenacity doing the same thing. It's constantly tweaking to get to the purpose that you're after.
This is so powerful, and I hope our listeners have paid attention, because so many times we have great sales careers, but we're not successful. And we say, okay, we're not good salespeople, and then let me take a regular job. When all you need to do is change the conversation, figure out you're not competing with the big boys, you're filling gaps, as you mentioned before. Figure out in your business what triggers those conversations in a way of asking people their pain points and seeing where you could fill in.
I'll summarize it in one quick story that puts everything we talked about. Zomed Surgical was a medical device company in Jacksonville. They called me up. Some of the managers heard me speak. The VP called me up. He and his brother are part of a management team. They were brought in to turn it around. At that time, they just went on the market. They were 97 million cap. And they came out with a new machine for ear, nose, and throat surgeons that can cut, light, and irrigate. And it would save 7 minutes on a procedure. Problem was, my client's Zomed's product was rated best in class by all the magazines. Their biggest competitor, Stryker, couldn't compete. So they gave their machines away for free, forcing my client to give their machines away for free and make money on the disposables. And he called me up to do a keynote. And I said, well, what do you want as a result of my keynote? And he goes, well, I want that $8 million back. And I said, look, I'll do a keynote, and I do them, but you need more than that. A keynote is just about getting people aware of something. You need real change in behavior. You need transference of skill. What I really recommend, if you really want that money back, let me go in the field. Let me go to 3 cities. Let me go with your top salespeople. Let's sit in surgery. Let me try a different dialogue with the docs and see what happens. And he bought that, which was going to be a lot more expensive than getting a keynoter, but then he still had me come and keynote and do the results at the end. But what happened was the salespeople started, you know, there was a doc in there. He was ear, nose, and throat. He was taking someone's tonsils out. He has the guy's mouth opened up and he goes, Ron, come over here. You know, he wants to scare me. Look in. And he pops the tonsils out. And I said, is that all you got? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm an EMT. What, are you trying to scare me? But now let's get into what scares you. He goes, what do you mean? Medicine's changing these days, isn't it? He goes, heck yeah. I go, what's your biggest challenges? He goes, the insurance company keeps cutting back how much we get. We're not making money. And we only have so many hours we can operate in a hospital. I only get 2 hours. So I can only put so many people through. He goes, yeah, but this procedure with this machine, you see the stats. It cuts your procedure by 7 minutes. If you can cut the procedure by 7 minutes, how many more can you include in a year? And all of a sudden they start, wow, okay, well, you got to get the admins doing that because they pay for it. I had the same conversation. All of a sudden the salespeople start calling their friends and saying, you better listen to this guy when he comes in. He's changing their minds. I'm just asking questions. Bottom line is, 3 months after I gave that speech, they got back the $8 million. And 4 years later, they were sold to Medtronic for $1 billion.
What about asking questions and changing?
Asking questions, listening. And selling things to people or influencing for what they need, not why you want it. When I wrote Lead Seller, Get Out of the Way, I had a professor call me up, a retired professor, and he said, if I read that book while I was teaching, I would have been a better professor. So Lead Seller, Get Out of the Way on Amazon gives you the actual questions. My last book, The Velocity Mindset, I would have you, your audience, read it first or listen to it first, because it gives you the explanation as to how the brain works these days, the findings we have, how simple it is, and then go to the questions that you may want to ask. But The Velocity Mindset, we all think that we want it fast. We all think we're doing what it takes to get there fast, but what we don't realize is we are the ones that are guilty of imposing our own obstacles to get in our way.
It's been amazing. Where could people find out more about, outside of the books, more about your programs or coaching that you offer?
Sure. We do executive coaching. We also have a chief revenue officer mastermind group that I facilitate. So all they have to do is go to ronkarr.com. That's R-O-N-K, no C, K-A-R-R.com, and click under contact. And there's a contact form you can send in. Or if they want to, while they're listening, they can give me a call on my cell directly at 201-914-3895.
That's cool. This has been a great conversation. I learned so much. For the links, resources, and mentioned this episode, check out the show notes at www.ptechgroup.com/podcast, where we'll link up to both of the books and obviously to the website as well. Let's close with the four rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number one, a book that changed your life.
The Celestine Prophecy.
Number two, a piece of advice you got that you'll never forget.
Stop throwing good money after bad.
Exactly. Number three, anything you wish you could go back and do differently?
I'd say my life, knowing what I know now, but I don't want to do that because I wouldn't have had all those experiences that make me valuable to my clients.
Love it. And last and final question, what's still on your bucket list to achieve?
After some setbacks I've had, health-wise and financially, probably to be financially independent, get my health is back, and get my golf score down to a respectable number.
That's good. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. I know your time is valuable. That is why, in the name of our listeners, we'll forever be grateful for sharing some of your time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, and I'm forever grateful for the opportunity.
Thanks. That's my conversation with Ron Carr. My takeaway from this one, number one, you see the world through your own story, but you need to remember that your story is made up, you can rewrite it, and you don't like it. That means that you could overcome your circumstances no matter what, because the key to success is in your mind. Number two, be purpose-oriented instead of task-oriented. Most of us are driven by tasks, meaning we're taking care of the latest issue that comes up, and we lose sight of our goals ahead. By keeping the purpose in mind and focusing on where you want to end up, you can avoid being bogged down by tasks that aren't really necessary. Number three, because every sales call or meeting is an interruption, you need to create an environment where your client prospect will want you to be involved in what they're doing. The right environment is all about triggering emotions, not revealing facts. And if the environment isn't right, then your client will either be bored or annoyed. By taking to your client in the place that he wants to be, you created an environment of trust where he's ready and willing to hear what you have to offer. And number four, when hiring your key staff, you need to make sure that they all have the trait of empathy. When an executive, manager, or salesperson has empathy, they ask questions and will learn about what's important to your clients. And that will convince those clients to use your services.
That's a wrap on another episode of Let's Talk Business, the podcast for no-nonsense advice to help you grow and lead. Subscribe to the Let's Talk Business show on your favorite podcast app or on our website at www.ptechsgroup.com/podcast. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Do you know other entrepreneurs who want to turn their ambition into action and passion into profits? Sharing is caring. Tell them about the show. The Let's Talk Business show is a production of PTechs Group. For more information, visit www.ptechsgroup.com.